Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Step four of an intentional life is to declutter. I thought it'd be worth talking about that today. Come on in. For these next 28 minutes, we're going to help you figure out what is it in your life that needs to go to get decluttered. If my wife's listening, she's saying, Randy, I can think of all sorts of things that got to go in the garage, things that have got to go maybe on your desk, in your office, things that I collect. I like to collect things. And I think sometimes when we think of clutter, we only think of things like that are physical. But you know, there are spiritual things that can be cluttered in our life. There are emotional things. There are relational things. There are unresolved problems and decisions that have been put off too long. And these things can collect and create problems. So the question today is, what is it you need to do to declutter your life today? Love to have you share your story of how you've decluttered or how you're decluttering your life on our comment line at 888-888-1717. We've got calls lined up for today already from our archives for the show itself that I think you'll find very encouraging. In fact, when we did this show some time ago, I had a chance to talk with Andrea from Michigan, and she was really wrestling with some clutter issues in her life and really got us thinking about this. So I thought I'd share that with you again today. So take a listen.
We have this clutter that seems to magically appear and reoccurs on all of its own, I tell you. It's the computer desk in the living room. No matter how many times we declutter it, take off the bills and the newspapers and the cool stuff the kids made at school, it seems to just magically reappear and reclutter that desk, and we cannot seem to organize it.
So where does it go in between the time it's there and not there?
Some of it gets thrown away. Some of it gets filed elsewhere. Sometimes I just take brown paper bags and put the kids' schoolwork in those just until I can figure out what else to do with it.
How many children do you have, Andrea?
We have two.
Well, they're a blessing from the Lord, and they bring joy and clutter into our lives.
They do bring joy and clutter, and I can somehow keep their bedroom and their toys clean and decluttered, but I cannot seem to keep the computer desk in the living room the same way.
Now, are you one of those people, though, that just everything has to be neat all the time?
No, I'm not neat all the time, although I do like to have things organized and in order the best that I can, but life gets in the way. It's just what happens.
Yeah, you and my wife would get along.
I bet we would.
And it's good. You know, we need to have one person in every family who's concerned about this to keep the clutter mess down. But I think with kids, hey, listen, they're always bringing clutter in from home. I mean, from school
they
or
are.
Whatever.
Yeah. And I guess my question is, what do you do when all those brown paper bags full of all the kids' artwork and schoolwork finally become a giant pile of them, but you don't want to throw them away, but you certainly don't want to become a hoarder of brown paper bags full of kids' stuff?
I'm chuckling. When I had a chance to talk to Andrea, you can hear in her voice, she's just, you know, she got brown paper bags everywhere. And you can collect all these things that these precious kids and grandkids make, and what do you do with them? Well, it's just part of the question of clutter, I suppose. You're welcome to join in with your comments, 888-888-1717. And hopefully as we talk about this, we can get into the deeper, more serious forms of clutter that we really need to deal with in life as well. Let's go to Jeanette in Michigan, who's up first. Jeanette, welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate it. How do you deal with clutter?
Well, I was listening to her call, and her concern, I could hear the stress in her voice.
Mm.
But when my children were small, I had three children, and they brought papers home, artwork, maybe they passed a spelling bee, a math test, from kindergarten through high school. I always kept a room in the living room. I had one wall where I'd place their things. All the papers that they did well on, that they came in the house and said, I got an A on this, so look how well I did. Look at this artwork. So I put it in a column for the three of them.
Mm-hmm. How long did you leave it up, though?
I leave them up 2 weeks to a month, because they always bring home something else.
So then it would go, that would be disposed of and it would be replaced with the new stuff?
I never disposed of it.
So you had boxes, you had bags, you kept these things?
No. I went and bought those little picture albums, you know, that you can put pictures in.
Yeah.
And that's what each one had their own, and that's what I put the pictures in.
So you put them in albums, so you got a bunch of albums now of the kids when they were...
Yeah, take it to their room. That was to be stored away.
Huh.
But I never put it in, I never put them in bags or anything, because to me, when they come in from school to say, they're excited, and they say, look at this. And I said, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But if I took it and tucked it away, to me, it didn't mean, it wasn't sincere.
Yeah.
So I just put them on the wall, and I remember my mom coming to visit once, and she said, why? She looked at everything. She said, oh, my, these are beautiful. But why do you have them on the wall in the living room? And I said, huh, where else would I put them?
That's a good point. Hey, Jeanette, thank you for your call. Moving on here, Jeff, next in Arizona. How about clutter in your life? You have clutter?
I do. Hey, Dr. Randy, good to talk to you. Thanks for what you're doing. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What I was going to tell you was my wife and I moved recently from Tucson to Albuquerque, and we were on one of our trips. We listened to a book on tape about decluttering, and we both kind of got on the same sheet, and this took months. It was very mindful, and it was very thoughtful, and it was actually difficult, but we unloaded truckloads, and that is not an exaggeration, truckloads, garage loads. I mean, we came here, our closets have very few clothes. The children have very few toys. I know where everything is in the house. We live in a little tiny house. I know where everything is in the garage, and it's uncluttered. And seems like once we uncleared that area, not only did it bring us closer together as a couple, it was a lot like when we attended Financial Peace University and got together about our finances. That drew us together.
How about your kids? How do they feel about the decluttering project?
You know what? I'm a full-time stay-at-home now to a 4 and 6-year-old. I'm retired, and they don't seem to mind, although they bring home a lot of stuff from school. Some of it gets displayed. Most of it just moves, you know, directly into the recycle. If it's something that's really unusual, then we hang on to it. But for the most part, my wife and I talk about how simple our life is.
Yeah. Now, how is your life different today? Simple, but in other ways, how has this made your life better or different?
You know, I just think it just makes us more mindful. You know, we're regular church attenders. I just think it's made us feel lighter and happier. And for me, you know, when I walk into the house and I'm the one that maintains it, it just doesn't take me a lot of time, and it's organized, and it kind of produces a lightness, somewhat of a joy, I would say. But it's been good for us, and now that we've done it, we continue to do it. And
it's good.
I don't know how we did it before, so.
Well, when you talk about truck, you must have had a lot of stuff that went off site.
Oh, my gosh, no. This was, I mean, there were family heirlooms. I mean, I had a roll-top desk that was my dad's, a 1920s vintage, just things that had been around and followed. And I found a great place in Tucson. Mm. I actually donated it to Ben's Bells in Tucson.
Yeah.
I stole a place that it fit in. So I found very mindful, heartfelt places to donate lots of big stuff. And then all the rest of the small stuff, it just went. And you realize once you do that, you just don't need much. It's just interesting. I know where everything is in the house. I can tell you what's in every cabinet, every box, every drawer. It's great.
Yeah, and you know, I got some people listening. They have shivers going up their spine with the thought of heirlooms and other things being given. And of course, every family is going to be different. But I will tell you this: there's a point where it's all going to be gone. And you know, I think about after my mom passed away. My dad had passed away several years earlier. And my mom and dad, my mom collected a lot of stuff. She was very good about, before her death, to say, what do you want? What don't you want? Get rid of anything. Don't feel like you have to keep stuff. And so she labeled the things that we said we wanted, a few little things. I don't have much, but a few little things. But you saw all these little things, and you realize as you pack them up and give them to others that they were meaningful for her, but at the same time, there was so much, so many things. And that's why I was talking to my wife the other day. We were just discussing, like you, Jeff, to get to a place of saying, hey, can we simplify our lives? There's things that just can go. Because I do think that the clutter that we hang on to, even though we got it organized, perhaps even in the garage or whatever, it takes a part of your mind. You're thinking about this stuff because it's there. And so being able to decide what's important, what's not important, and simplify is an important thing to do. Okay, Jeff, appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter in particular, not only stuff, but mental clutter. And I think Beth and Patricia want to weigh in on this topic as well. We'll go to Beth in a moment. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these 5 devices.
Strong families have family meetings. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Strong families hold family meetings, sometimes officially, sometimes unofficially, but they always establish a safe place where each of the children and the parents, each member of the family, can bring up a topic that needs to be talked about or questions that need to be asked and answered. Set some ground rules and be respectful to keep the dialogue open. Keep it focused on the topic and hopefully patiently working through the issues as a family. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that patiently put up with each other and love each other. Try your best to let God's Spirit keep your hearts united. Be this way, living in peace. You know, when we choose to have family meetings and talk about important things, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Intentional Living is available to you in lots of forms. You hear it on the radio. We have resources. We have our conferences. But we also have the Intentional Minute. It's just 60 seconds every day that goes out on the radio and online around the world, on Facebook around the world. And it can come directly to your news feed every day to share it with someone that you know and love. Every day, just 60 seconds to encourage you in living intentionally. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. And when you're there, if you like the page, it's set up that the new video will magically appear in your news feed every weekday. We do it Monday through Friday. So go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. By the way, here in May, I've decided to share something with those of you who will stand with us in the ministry of intentional living with your very best gift to help us in May. We recorded at one of my conferences for parents. It's called the Parents Night Out. It was kind of a date night for parents, couples to come, and we just had a good time talking about kids and sharing some of the principles of intentional living for parents. And we called it a Parents Night Out. And we brought in a couple cameras and recorded the evening on DVD. And I'd like to send it to you as our gift to you to say thank you for your support this month for intentional living. When you request it, we'll send it to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you share your gift, request it, we'll make sure we send it to you. It's our way of saying thank you. It's available to you as a way of saying thanks for being a part of the ministry. Or you can call if you'd rather talk to one of our staff during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Okay, we started with clutter. One of the 4 steps in the intentional life process. First of all, declare your intention. Be clear about that intention. Setting the goal for it and then decluttering your life is a step. And how do you do that? Because so often we think of only the clutter of stuff, but clutter can go beyond that. Beth is in Georgia. Beth, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Do you wrestle with physical as well as other kinds of clutter?
I wrestle with physical clutter immensely.
Uh-huh.
Huge problem in my life. But I've noticed lately that I really wrestle with mental clutter as well. I have recognized, due to monitoring my time on social media, that I spend a lot of time, a lot of quality time I'm losing by being on a social media platform.
Yeah.
And sometimes that social media platform might have a marketplace, and I'm buying things that I don't need to, you know, help out on the physical clutter problem as well. But I started recognizing that I'm just spending too much time, too many things coming into my mind that aren't necessary. They benefit me in no way. And I set out to, someone brings up a topic, and I'm just not sure what the Bible has to say about it. Apps are so convenient. Your Bible app is right, you know, right on the same screen as your social media. I just hit that Bible app and I start looking for ways or looking for answers that I can know and have and hold in my heart. And replacing the, you know, non-efficient or not good clutter with things that will help me grow.
Yeah. Well, Beth, that's wise. I mean, we are to redeem the time. And I think of the psalmist in Psalm 90 where he says to us that we are to number our days. We could even bring that down to let's number our hours. You know, number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. And today, with so much available to us when it comes to technology, and we can be so easily distracted by entertainment that is mindless. Come on, we all do it. It's easy to just fade out. You're tired. You've had a busy day. It's easy just to fade out and just be entertained. And some of that's not always bad, but the fact is that if we don't use the time we've been given, that can become clutter to us. Clutter can come in entertainment. There can be a lot of clutter just seeking entertainment in our life. There can be clutter when it comes to what we read, the things that we fill our minds with. Sometimes it can be sort of mindless. And these things can bog us down and keep us from really experiencing God's best. I believe that. Okay, Beth, thank you for your call from Georgia today, and I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Patricia. She has a practical suggestion from Michigan. Patricia, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hello, Dr. Randy.
Well, appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
Organization. I was an elementary art teacher. I'm now retired. So there was...
Oh, so you were the one helping them generate all this stuff they bring home, huh?
Yeah. But I was constantly having to organize the art room. So I'm almost OCD because of it. But with my children, I kept these big scrapbooking accordion files for each year of school, preschool, first grade, second grade, and it went right into the grade file. Huh. Now they're adults, and they get to go through it and, you know, whatever they want to do with it. So I kept it organized.
What did they do with it?
They kept it. One did. The other one's not that sentimental. She's like, throws stuff away. But my one oldest daughter, she's 30 now, she kept it. She still has it.
Interesting.
It's all organized in that file.
So you would take an accordion file for each year?
Yep. And it was so filled, I could hardly close it. But it was a big leather scrapbooking accordion file.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When I was talking about my parents, when my mother passed away, she'd collected a lot of stuff. I mean, just little things, stuff. Precious moments. Remember precious moments stuff? You know, that kind of stuff. And God love her. I don't know how she dusted all the stuff she kept. But anyway, she was really good about saying before she passed away, what are the things you want? So we make sure, you know, you get what you want. And frankly, there wasn't a lot. You know how it is. You keep a few things. But when I think back about what you did, Patricia, I wish my parents had done that. I can't go back to my childhood right now. I don't have anything that I can think of at home that really reflects my childhood. I did stumble across I think it was sixth grade, my grades. And that was depressing. But other than that, my mom didn't save that kind of stuff, and I wish she had. It would have been... Of course, Donna's listening. My wife Donna's saying, "Oh yeah, that's all we need is now a file drawer of everything had from kindergarten on." But some of that stuff I think is important. I think to be able to even go back, even as an adult, and reflect on some of those things. So I think that's a really good idea, Patricia. If not everything, at least some of it. So the later on, you have a child, like you said, that's not sentimental. They can toss it, and the other one might say, thanks, Mom, for keeping that for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, and, you know, and they we are pretty organized because I'm almost OCD, and the one that throws everything away is OCD. But you have to learn how to mentally break things down.
Right.
So you don't get overwhelmed. Like, my husband died 2 years ago. Well, I put all this stuff in the garage, and I couldn't get rid of it, and you cannot walk through the garage. Well, I said to myself, Lord, you know, let me get through this, and he gave me the answers, and now I'm able to go through and do one corner at a time.
Learning to let go, which is not easy.
Because I departmentalized it.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I could deal with going through and getting rid of my husband's things.
Mm. You know, I don't think we talk about some of these things that are meaningful enough. The objects have meaning to us, in lots of ways. In our faith, there's things that have meaning to us, and in our families and so on. But learning to see that really the only things that will ultimately remain are people and God's word, and that's it. That helps us clarify what is important to hang on to, the physical things, and what are things we can let go of. All right, very, very good. Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter today and how to declutter your life and be intentional. I grew up in a Christian home. We were active not only as a Christian family and in church, but in ministry and reaching other people. So there was an assumption I was saved, I assume, because I'd gone to Sunday school and done the things you do in Sunday school when you're in second, third, and fourth grade, but realized at 13, I don't even know how, but it was a moment. It must have been the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, do you truly know me? Do you truly know who I am? Have you truly given your life to me? And when I was a 13-year-old, just beginning my teen years, going to my dad and say, Dad, you know, I know we're in a Christian family, but I don't know if I've ever done this. Would you pray with me?
That's an excerpt from the teaching this month. It was recorded over here in our classroom area with our staff. But that's a teaching that's going out this month, and how an aha moment in your life can change your life. For me, that particular moment was just this Holy Spirit speaking to me as a young teenager. Randy, do you really know me? Yeah, you're really my child. I know you're in a Christian family and you're going to church and Sunday school, but you don't get any special bonus points for that when it comes to salvation. And so that aha moment changed the course of my life. Maybe you've had that aha moment. If you haven't, you should. You need to. But you know, aha moments come in relationships. It comes about our finances, our health, our family, in lots of ways. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it screams at us. But whenever it is, it's an important thing. So the teaching this month is on how aha moments can change your life, how to be aware of them, how do you sense them, how to become more attuned and mindful of the aha moments in your life. A very important teaching this month for our members. And so as a member of Intentional Living, meaning you're supporting us every month, thank you. Watch for it. We'll get that to you. Video and audio coming your way here in a couple weeks. If you're not and want to be a part of the team, come and join us today. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate. That's theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
We've been talking about decluttering your life, and Cheryl wanted to weigh in from Kansas. And it looks like hi there, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, good. Looks like you have a pretty practical idea. Go ahead and share it.
Okay, well, I saw this somewhere, and I've been trying to do it, but it says, it's don't put it down, put it away. And like when I fold up laundry and I'll take it to the bedroom and lay it on the bed, and I'll tell myself, oh, don't put it down, put it away. So then I put it in the drawer. And it has helped a lot, just doing that. And then another thing I do is I have files. You were talking about if you have a piece of paper and you might use it later. If you don't scan it or something, you know, I just have like some recipe files for different kinds of recipes. And if most of them are on Pinterest, but if they're not, you know, I just keep them. And I have like travel and, you know, a few things. And then every few years I go through them and, you know, throw them away or something.
Yeah,
you know,
which is some. I think that's a good idea. We should have a national clean up your house and your clutter day every year. That would be a bad day, a national holiday. Let's clean up our clutter. Let's go through the stuff mentally and physically and otherwise in our lives. I think that would be a good thing to do.
I just thought I would share my technique about controlling paper in your home, which is when I go to the mailbox, I then stop at the recycling bin before I go in the house, and I only keep things that I really need, you know, like the bills. And that has cut down considerably on my paper clutter in my home.
What one thing are you doing to declutter your life? Maybe it's paper like she's doing. Good idea, by the way. Don't bring it in. Get it resolved right away. But what is the one thing that you do to keep the clutter level in your life down? Relational clutter? Maybe there's a lot of that going on. Maybe there's financial clutter or emotional clutter. Whatever it is, what is some of the clutter in your life that you've been dealing with? And the reason I love to hear this is because this is step four in the intentional living process. When it comes to our lives, first of all is to make that decision that we choose to be intentional in our walk with Christ, figure out what pleases Him, and then do it. And then it's important to make a declaration of that. That can be something to another group of people, to the Lord, putting it in print in your journal, but you know, making it real. And then doing one thing. We talk about the power of one thing every day. Moving forward then, making sure you're also decluttering those things that become obstacles in your life. So as we talk about declutter today, what one thing needs to go or one thing that you're working on in your life? Tell us about it again on our comment line at 888-888-1717. And if you're willing to make a one thing commitment to declutter your life, I'm willing to send you free of charge from Intentional Living the same one thing wristband that I wear. As a reminder, wear it for 30 days. Wear it for the next 6 months until it becomes a habit in your life. How do you get that? Just go to our website, theintentionallife.com/WB/WB for wristband. Make that, you know, hey, here's what I'm going to do so we can pray with you. And then we'll get this to you. All right, we got to run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living during this week. Thanks for your prayers. And for members, thank you for making this possible here and around the world.